I'd like to call this meeting to order. We'll have the roll call.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Here.
Chavez?
Here.
Solino?
Here.
Mayor Fast?
Here. I'd like to ask Pastor Ron Hobbs of the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church to come up to do our invocation this evening. And I've asked Councilman Ray Solino to do our Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please rise with me?
It was good to see this last week, all the great events that just took place across the street over the last weekend. Part of our heritage in our particular church was Pastor and Millie Harrell, who were the king and queen this year. And I just was reminded the most incredible life of giving service here to the city of Reedley. And it reminds me of hundreds and hundreds of others who are willing to do the same thing. And I think for that today, we should give thanks. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pause for just a moment in this place and in this time to ask you, Lord, to bless what will be undertook today. We ask, O Father, that by your presence and your spirit, that you would be here and allow us to honor you by our words, by our actions, by our deeds. We also want to give thanks today for the many selfless workers who continue to give and give and give to make this city a great place. Thank you for volunteers. Thank you for people who invest their lifetimes in this particular neighborhood. We pray, O Lord, that your blessing would be upon them and you would help them and this great city to prosper. Be over all that is said and done tonight, and we ask that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a couple of presentations this evening. The first one is with Community Youth Ministries. And I'm not sure who's coming up to speak for that.
Sherry's here.
You're on, Sherry.
Great time.
Hello.
Would you please state your name and address for our record?
My name is Sherry Weidenhofer. My address of record is 903 F Street in Reedley. And we are here tonight to thank you, Mayor Fast, and the Honorable City Council for a generous grant that was given to our house, Community Youth Ministries, which is across the street. And we were just coming from celebrating a little walkthrough of our house. We finished the interior, which we're very excited about. And the house has served over, well, between 60 and 70 young women and children over the years, over the last 20 years. And it really got a new opportunity to serve for a very long time. So our goal in the next few months is to find out the total history of that house, because we know it has served this community in various ways. And I am eager to actually find out who built that house and whose hands built that house, because it really has been used for community service for such a long time. So we are eager to continue to keep our commitment to the city to keep low-income housing for 55 years. I have it on my calendar, and we will be faithful to that promise. So thank you so much. We had a lot of volunteer support. We had a lot of community support. We had a lot of extra donations from the city and from, not the city, but from our Reedley Lumber and a lot of our business folks around town. And we had about 40, 50 volunteers that contributed, including from Canada and all around the United States that came in. Built that house. We had one man that came and moved here for 3 months and basically did the whole entire front room by himself single-handedly because he wanted to be of service. So we're very grateful for those hands and the work that has gone into that. So thank you for believing in us when we really didn't have much of a thought of how important that was. So thank you. And we do have a presentation for the city. Even though we had the open house tonight and we still have a few $1,000 left on our grant, which we're hoping will, you know, multiply as it does, so that we can still get the outside of the house done, finish furnishing the rooms, and get one of our staircases done. But we're giving you a plaque with a picture of our house, and just as a thank you, really, we are so grateful for your support.
Okay, another exciting thing is Red Ribbon Week. And we have some young ladies and gentlemen that are going to help me do the proclamation. Is that right?
Yes, we have the pleasure of having members from the Boys and Girls Club going to read the proclamation. I'd like to introduce Kim Ozuna, the unit director for the Boys and Girls Club here in Reedley. Kim?
Hi. I just wanted to, I haven't announced it to my supervisors, but as of today, we have like 101 members. So we're officially a club. We have about 35 coming in every day, average 27, 35 different days. So we're going pretty strong. So it's pretty neat. About 5:30 is when most of them come in. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my kid. This is Yesima Silva. She is 11 years old, and she goes to Silas Barch. And Ivan Chavez is 10 years old, and he goes to Jefferson Elementary. Diana Mesa is 13, and she goes to Grant. And we have Ruby Ochoa. She's 11, and she also goes to Grant. I'm sorry, 12. sorry. Come up. Come up here. Come on, Ivan.
Whereas alcohol and other drug abuse has reached pandemic stages in California and throughout the United States, whereas it is imperative that community members launch unified and visible tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention education programs and activities to eliminate the demand for these substances.
Whereas California Drug Free Youth Inc. coordinates the California's Red Ribbon Celebration, the corporation with the Nation Federation of Parents to offer our citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their community to health drug-free lifestyles, and whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across America during Red Ribbon Week, October 24th through 28th, 2011.
Whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate the commitment to the drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this week long. And whereas we recognize and commend the contributions made by Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reedley Police Department, Reedley College, Reedley Boys and Girls Club, Sunset Waste Systems, and the City of Reedley Community Services Department.
Whereas the community of Reedley Parlor in Command is a result to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration.
Now, therefore, I, Mary L. Fast, Mayor of the City of Reedley, do hereby proclaim October 24th to 28th, 2011, as Red Ribbon Week in the City of Reedley, and encourage all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention programs and activities, making a visible statement and commitment to healthy drug-free communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth. And be it further proclaimed that the City Council and the City of Reedley encourages all community members to pledge no use of illegal drugs and no illegal use of legal drugs. Dated October 11th, 2011, Mary Fast, Mayor of the City of Reedley. I'd like to give this to you folks.
Grab your bags and go give it to them. We'll have a bag.
Those are our future leaders, men and women. Pretty neat. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Would you please come up? Well, we've got a couple of folks here coming. Please state your name and address for our record.
Valerie Peroni, Greater Reedley, Chamber of Commerce. I come to thank everyone who participated in the Reedley Fiesta. Pastor Hobbs said it so eloquently that it was a community-driven volunteer organization that helped put this together. If it wasn't for the council and your staff, that should be commended for their efforts, from the police department to the community services department to the fire department, who made sure that we had no incidents. And most importantly, I would say, is the community services. Well, they put on a great fiesta run, walk run. We have a lot of partners now with the parade from the Rotary. We've got pancake breakfast, diaper derbies. We've got a little of everything going on. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, Mayor, coming out Friday night and crowning our king and queen. Thank you again for your support.
Thank you, Valerie. Good evening, Kay.
Kay Pierce, 36633 Hawthorne Lane, Squaw Valley, formerly city clerk of the city of Reedley, recently terminated without cause. That tells me that there is not a legitimate reason to have terminated me after 35 years of employment, but I know why this happened. I had the unmitigated gall to confront Sylvia Plata for once again having the locks changed on the front office, denying me access to the council's mail. Although Ray Forsythe took responsibility for this, it would never have happened without the manipulations of Sylvia. This is the third time she has done this, and professional courtesy would have dictated that she inform me of this change, since it's a function of the city clerk to gather up council's mail to be delivered in the packet. It was just one more insult to me personally. It should be noted that even though Russ Robertson is the person in charge of distributing keys to new employees, he didn't even have a key to the new office. Only Sylvia and Ray had keys to every office in City Hall. The issue of Sylvia having keys to everyone's office came up many times, but particularly when Marissa Gonzalez asked her to please refrain from entering her office when she was not at work, as she had confidential paperwork in her office. Let me add that I was assisting Marissa and did have access to her office, as she trusted me to do her filing. My termination had everything to do with my confrontation with Sylvia, as Ray Forsythe always defended and protected her. In 2005, when she was an employee of the finance department, with her manipulations and lies, she was almost successful in getting Lori Okun fired. Luckily for this city, Brian Nakamura respected Lori's knowledge and how fiscally sound the city was, and she wasn't fired, but not before she was driven to seek the help of a doctor for the considerable stress she was put under by Sylvia and Ray. Where would this city be today without Lori if Sylvia and Ray had gotten their way? Since Sylvia was no longer welcomed in the finance department, Ray asked then city clerk, secretary to the city manager, Elizabeth Vines, if she would let Sylvia work in her office. Elizabeth agreed, stating Sylvia could take over the duties that I was currently helping Elizabeth with. Not only did Sylvia never take over any of my duties, shortly thereafter, Elizabeth was removed from the front office, removed as secretary to the city manager and placed in the back office, and had only the title of city clerk and was also eventually fired. Sylvia was then made admin assistant to the city manager and received a 5% pay increase. Current admin assistants were never given the opportunity to apply for this position, as is city policy. Morale suffered once again. Common denominator, Sylvia Plata. Eventually, given the title of deputy city clerk by Rocky Rogers, she never once worked in that capacity or performed any duties relating to the position of deputy city clerk. Still, she received another 5% increase, and morale suffered once again. Almost every personnel issue had the common denominator of Sylvia and Ray. When Sylvia was caught going through Roseanne Herrera's desk and computer and then lied about it, Roseanne filed a formal complaint against Sylvia. This was eventually swept under the carpet, just like all the other complaints against Sylvia by co-workers. Marissa advised Ray that he was not handling Roseanne's complaint properly and was then told he didn't need her advice. That's when Marissa saw the writing on the wall and sought employment elsewhere before she was fired. I could go on and on regarding the manipulations and lies told by Sylvia and Ray, but I only have a short time here. I am not the person who should have been fired, as I have never had any complaints filed against me by my fellow co-workers, as has Sylvia. The way I was fired by Ms. Ziba was cold-hearted, as Ms. Ziba would never tell me the reason, even though I asked her three times. I was then escorted out of the building by a Reedley police sergeant like a common criminal after being allowed to collect my 35 years' worth of memorabilia. It was reprehensible and humiliating. I cannot believe that you, the city council members, were not curious as to why a dedicated and hardworking employee could have done something so heinous as to be fired after 35 years. Wasn't anyone curious? No, you just trusted that Ms. Ziba would give you the truthful information, and my firing was never questioned. The reprehensible way I was terminated even cheated me out of a retirement gift. 35 years of loyal service, and all I received was an escort out by Reedley's finest. You have allowed a terrible injustice in my termination. I hope in the future the council will get more involved with office politics of City Hall and get to know your employees better. There isn't a city employee who isn't just a little nervous after seeing what happened to me. If council has any doubts about the information I have shared with you this evening, have the interim police chief contact an outside investigator to conduct a full-scale investigation on my allegations and make sure it's someone who has no association with Ray Forsythe. Thank you.
Good evening, council. I am Ron Pierce. I am Kay Pierce's son, and she asked me to speak on her behalf as her son. I address you on behalf of Kay Pierce, my mother, who currently holds position with the City of Reedley as city clerk. She has addressed this council regarding her alleged termination from office on September 28, 2011. I say alleged because for reasons based on facts provided you, the supposed officer who allegedly exercised the authority to terminate Ms. Pierce was herself not authorized to do so for the simple fact that she never assumed the office of city manager for the city of Reedley. Ms. Pierce immediately and directly challenged and still challenges Ms. Ziba's authority to terminate her and brings that challenge here before this council now that she has finally been provided opportunity to do so and as is appropriate under Reedley Municipal Code. I should not have to state the importance both morally and legally of the requirements regarding the oath of office. Each of you being a council member is no doubt aware of its legal importance under Article 20, Section 3 of the Constitution of the State of California. Said article specifically provides that all public officers and employees, executive, legislative, and judicial, shall before they enter upon the duties of their respective offices, take and subscribe an oath or affirmation to support and defend both state and federal constitutions. As clerk of the City of Reedley, Ms. Pierce is charged with swearing in individuals, assuming any capacity of public office for the City of Reedley. Being thus charged, she has knowledge of the fact that Ms. Ziba failed to subscribe her oath or affirmation before setting herself to what she apparently deemed more important, the retaliatory color of law termination of Kay and others. These acts, done openly and in defiance of proper authority, specifically disqualify Ms. Ziba from any further usurpation of office, a priori to any consideration of this matter by counsel, shades of Penal Code Section 529, as it regards the impersonation of a public official. Ms. Ziba never took her oath of office. She never entered into the office of city manager for the City of Reedley and has instead, and in fact, violated the trust of this council, her fellow co-workers, and the public by launching dilatory tactics without assuming office. We are all of us tied in our official capacities to the Constitution of the United States, that supreme authority providing all authority under the law of this land. Without taking an oath of office, no person appearing to assume an office invokes the constitutional or public authority therein. The law terms such individuals as legally usurpers. A mere intruder or usurper is not ordinarily, but may become an officer de facto in some cases. This can happen only by the continued exercise of the office by him or her and the acquiescence therein by the public authorities and the public for such length of time as to afford citizens generally a strong presumption that he or she had been duly appointed. But when, without color of authority, he or she simply assumes to act, to exercise authority as an officer, and the public know the fact, or reasonably ought to know that he or she is a usurper, his or her acts are absolutely void for all purposes. As I and others see it, there is no other recourse for this council than to formally remove this usurper and allow Ms. Pierce to safely and with deserved apologies, return to her duties as clerk for the city of Reedley, a position she never abandoned and continues in capacity in. An upholding of her color of law termination, aside from being illegal, as discussed, is reprehensible in the extreme in light of the circumstances against her 35 years of service to the city. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Norman LaJoy. I live at 743 West Huntsman. I was employed by the city of Reedley for 37 years until the end of 1994 when I retired. I worked in public works for the last 15 years. I was the wastewater treatment plant superintendent. I'm here to say a few words for Kay. First of all, first time I met Kay was when she came to work and she was assigned out to city yard as a secretary. She did a very good job. Everybody liked her. Nothing was wrong. I mean, in all the years I worked with her, not really, but around for the city, she helped me immensely. And I imagine there isn't one person sitting up there that hadn't been helped by Kay. Now, when I heard that Kay had been fired, I was amazed. I don't know the facts or anything about it, but I do know this. I know I worked under some darn nice city managers, and one of them, by a guy, was a backstabber. He wasn't nice. He was a backstabber. The rest have been nice. I can't believe that we got a new city manager who in just a few weeks of getting here without checking to see what was going on would bring a person in and fire him. That doesn't happen. None of my city managers I knew would do that. I only have one thing to say. I am glad I never had to work under her. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
My name's Mark Buckley. I live at 495 East Carib Avenue in Reedley. And to reiterate what Kay Pierce said about making all of City Hall nervous about coming to work every day is the absolute God's honest truth. Ms. Ziba here has created nothing but a hostile work environment, and in her capacity, that is not to be allowed. And thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead and come on up. Go ahead and come on up. Please, may I have your name and address for our record?
My name is Mark Nakata. A partner and I have a business down here, 1144 G Street, Reedley, and here tonight to talk about the conversation I had with Mr. Robertson a couple weeks ago. We're having a discussion about the garbage collection, and this discussion came about because there was an issue with the garbage service. And so basically what happened is Mr. Robinson and I looked at the code, and we went through the book, and I understand that my recourse is to come before the council, so here I am. What I'm here to talk about is we get charged a basic rate for garbage. I guess it's a 90-gallon can or whatever the heck it is. And I told Mr. Robertson that most of the things that we receive come in cardboard boxes, and they're recyclable. And so I asked him whether we couldn't simply have the recycling can and do away with the garbage can, because we really don't have things that are non-recyclable. Seems to me that garbage collection in most cities is a cost. It's not a revenue. As such, if we're not a burden on city services because we have a recycling can through Sunset, shouldn't be an issue. But apparently, according to Mr. Robertson, that every business in the city is going to get charged garbage service whether they use it or not, which doesn't seem right to me. And I understand that, according to Mr. Robinson, there's no provision in the code for either a smaller can or waiver for the service without coming before the council. So I'm here today to ask for a waiver because I don't see the point in paying for a garbage service that we don't use. So that's my comment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I suggest that you maybe make an appointment with our city manager and discuss that further with her office. Okay. Is there any other public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on. The consent agenda. Items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive a full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would anyone like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Is there any comment from the public on any of these issues on the consent agenda calendar?
Second.
Okay.
Yes.
Motion and a second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Celino.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Moving on to public hearing. Item number 8. Resolution number 2011-074. Approving the expenditures of funds under the Public Safety COPS Grant Program Fund. Police Department.
let me go ahead and take this for the lieutenant there, because I have this feeling that he wasn't ready. Under the terms of the COPS grant, annually we are required, if we accept the grant, to hold a public hearing on the grant acceptance and expenditure of those funds. As you are maybe aware, the funds are programmed into our budget already, and therefore today is simply a perfunctory public hearing on this so that we may open it up to the public, hear any comment, and close the hearing then.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Are there any comments or questions from the council on this issue? Are there any comments or questions from the public on this item? Seeing none,
motion to approve.
We'll close the public hearing, and there's a motion to approve. Second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Celino.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 9 is new business. The appointment of a city council member for council district number 3. Turn that over to our city manager.
Yes, Madam Mayor and members of council, we're here with an exciting and fairly historic night for the city of Reedley. As you know, last night we held a special meeting to have a very transparent public process whereby the two finalist candidates for the district seat were interviewed by the council. We did open up the item yesterday for public comment. We did adjourn our meeting at the workshop. Today we have a formal item which will allow us to deliberate, allow the council to deliberate on a candidate, and then we will appoint the candidate, and assuming that the candidate is available, October 25th will be their swearing in and their first council meeting as a council member. So that being said, we can start a deliberation amongst council.
public comment period and look for a motion and a second on a selected candidate.
Okay. We had two people that were gave a report last night of their interest in being on our council. The first one was Dale Kennedy, and he's unable to be here this evening. And the second one was Bob Beck. Bob, would you wave your hand? Those of you that were here last night met him. And so we have opportunity this evening to make a decision on a new council member for District 3. Are there any comments or questions from council members?
And we go, like we did last night, go by districts if people want to comment or not and discuss each candidate openly.
Okay.
Sure. I'll start out. First of all, you know, I want to thank our city manager for setting up the process where we had a citizens committee that interviewed the applicants, and she mentioned the names last night. People took time from their jobs or their busy schedule to come in and do the interviewing for us. They screened the candidates, and we ended up with two quality candidates. Both, in my opinion, are very qualified. Both had excellent oral interviews. Mr. Beck, you're a very well-rounded individual. Besides, you know, working in government like you did for the 27 years, you owned a business. You had a really good handle on the community, what's affecting the community. And I really, really appreciate your energy and your willingness to take this task on. Are you sure you want to do it? Mr. Kennedy also had a very, very good interview, and also a very well-rounded individual who's also dedicated his life to the education field. Both of you had really good handle on the budget, better handle than I had when I started here. But it's a process, and you learn as you go along, and there's people that help you out. Lori's great as far as answering your questions, and as is the city manager, so there's gonna be a learning curve. Again, I was very impressed with both candidates. I do have one choice over the two. Should I wait till the end, or should I announce now?
Completely up to you. I suppose we can...
Well, my choice is Bob Beck.
Well, I would like to say that in listening to the two candidates last night, they were both impressive. What I was looking at was an individual that knew the city of Reedley. Okay? It's important because if an individual knows the city of Reedley, the individual knows what the city needs, whether it's financially, whether it's business, every agency that we have to deal with, and that's important. So it's hard to decide which one was, but at the end, I needed to go with one individual that not only did he work with the police department and knew what the police department was all about, what the city was all about, what he felt that the city was lacking, that he wanted to have input to bring the city where it should be. And I think he made the right decision to step up and say, I want to help the city really. So I will go with Mr. Bob Beck.
I was also impressed with both the candidates. That you're both really well qualified, really. My choice has to do with the fact that when I asked both of you, I asked you to tell me about your districts, a little bit about your districts, because we do have districts here in the city, and The reason we have them was because we felt that there was different parts of town that were different and unique in the community. And having a person live in that district would get a feel for the district and the needs of the people in that town. And they are very unique. And yours is a lot like my district. It's heavy populated. And I've worked with a lot of your families that live in your district in the Meadowbrook area and all that area through the school because their children were coming to Jefferson. And so before they changed the boundaries, all that area was Jefferson School. So I really got to know the families in that part of the community. There's a great need in that part of town. I don't think people realize that this city is changing, and they need to start being aware of the needs of all the community. There's people out there. I don't know if you're aware that Reedley has 24% under the poverty level. One third of our community is unemployed. And a lot of that is with our ag families because of the fact that packing houses closed and the economy. And there is a great need there. And the fact that you're retired and you have somebody that can go along with you, your daughter-in-law, you said, that will go along with you. I'm hoping that you will have the time to go out into your district and meet the families there and see the needs, because there is. And they're not going to come out and tell you what they need. There's a fear right now, especially with immigration the way it is, and we have a lot of undocumented families in our community, we do. And so they are part of the community, they contribute to the community, and there's a great need there. And so if we can become aware of those, hopefully that, you know, we can be able to help all parts of our community and advocate for their needs. And so that's why I wanted to pick you, because I feel that you could do that. So.
Okay. I felt like we had two really good candidates last night. I was very impressed with both Bob, you, and with Mr. Kennedy. I too see that you're retired and you have a lot of energy and you have a love for our city, which I appreciate, and I think that's, our heart has to be in it, or else it's really not worth it to do this. So I too would be willing to appoint you to be our new city council member in District 3. So I think we have a unanimous decision here. Would you like to make a few comments? Sure.
First of all, I want to thank the council for the unanimous, for what they're going to do for me. You guys are going to, you don't realize I'm going to rely on you. I'm looking for the learning part from you. You're going to teach me what I need to know up there. I've got the energy, so you're going to have to be there. But I really appreciate the unanimous vote. I also would like to thank the city manager for the group that you put together. When I first went in there, I've been retired for over 8 years. And I haven't been through an interview in a long time, so I'm still kind of shaken. It took me a little while before I could kind of adjust my mind, you know. So, but I was a little nervous when I first went into the interview, and I told the city manager the other day that, and I says, but you know, when I walked in, I was put at ease, and it was like being back in business again in the city, and I had an opportunity to express what I want to see done for the city, mm-hmm. as I did last night. And I'm looking forward to serving with each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you.
Remember the three L's, Bob.
You got it. Look, learn, and listen.
And for formal adoption, we do need to open it up to public comment, and then we will need a motion, a second, and a vote.
Okay. Okay. I'd like to open it up for any public comment on this issue this evening. Looks like we have a couple people coming.
Valerie Prony, Greater Reedley, Chamber of Commerce. I congratulate the council for going through the due diligence and picking a very good candidate. We're happy to hear he has a small business background. He understands budget, and a willingness and eagerness to come out of retirement and assist this community. And we applaud you and thank you. We look forward to working with you, Bob.
Thank you, Valerie.
Steve Rapata, 1990 East Washington, Reedley, California. And I, too, think you've made a fantastic choice. Bob has lived in his home for 41 years. He knows that district just as well as anybody in this city, but he knows this city just as well as anybody. And he understands the fact that he has a responsibility now to come take care of the 25,000. And Bob, I appreciate the fact that you stepped forward, as did Mr. Kennedy and the other candidates. That was fantastic to see that many people step up. And I applaud you, and I wish you good luck. And thank you for a great vote.
And thank you, Steve, for being a part of the process, too, and educating the folks that were willing to come and be a part of this process. Okay. Is there any other public comment?
I'll make the motion to approve the selection of Mr. Beck.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez.
Yes.
Celino.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 10, approval of the sewer rate structure selection. And we'll defer to Mr. Robertson.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. Russ Robertson, Public Works Director. If I could get you to lower the screen, please, Ms. Plata. Thank you. At the last city council meeting held on September 27th, several sewer rate structure options were presented to council for consideration. And this evening, staff is requesting council's recommendation of a sewer rate structure so that we can go ahead and move forward with the somewhat lengthy process of implementation. If permissible, I'd like to do just a real brief review about the sewer rate options that we discussed at the last council meeting. Up on the screen is the residential customers. They will remain at a flat rate. They will not be billed per consumption per all three options that we've presented. Their rate will just go up incrementally. And you can see the footnotes at the bottom. Year 1 and 2 include a 25% rate increase to the overall rate revenue. Year 3 includes a 2.5% rate increase to the overall rate revenue. For the flat rate customers, again, option 1, 2, and 3 are the same. These rates do not change depending on the rate design option. So those basically your residential sewer fees for all three options. Here's where things change as far as the structure goes. It says metered customers, but everybody's metered now. So multifamily, commercial, hospitals, and schools. Option 1 is status quo, where the structure remains as is currently. The fees would go up incrementally again. Whereas all water consumption, because these are based on consumption, the sewer fees are for commercial water consumption, would be $4.54 per 1,000 gallons the first year, second year $5.40. And so on. There is a minimum bill. You can see that at the bottom. Maybe I can get my little pointer to work. That's the minimum bill there that that option has. Option 2, now it starts with a flat rate per meter size. And there you can see the $15 for a 3/4-inch meter. And it goes up from there. And this is year 1. And you'll notice the water consumption is a little bit less. So this is an option that is less on the consumption side, but it does include a flat rate. Option 3 also includes a flat rate per meter charge, but then you can see that here the water consumption is now based on 125% of the AWWU, which is the annual winter water usage. This is an option we talked about at the last council meeting, and staff is recommending option 3 for council's consideration this evening. Again, the notes at the bottom, year 1 and 2 include a 25% rate increase to the overall rate revenue. Year 3 includes a 2.5% rate increase to the overall rate revenue. The reason we're looking at the average winter water consumption element of this option is this is what was happening to some of our commercial accounts, in particular the places of worship and institutional, where they have larger areas of landscape. When the customers were being billed per consumption in the summer, their bills were substantially increasing because of the increase in water usage. And the assumption is it's from the landscape irrigation. As you can see, it's during the summer months. And in the winter, you know, their rates were considerably less. So the AWWU takes into consideration that we will average the winter months of November through March and take that average, and the customer would pay that amount throughout the year. And we feel this is a more fair and equitable option to consider, because at present with this structure, some of the places of worship and institutional accounts are doing a little bit of the heavy lifting for the sewer fund. The next steps is we're asking council tonight to provide direction so we can move forward, and that direction would be the selection of one of the rate options. Then we can begin the Prop 218 process, which first we have to notice all of the property owners. Then there's a 45-day period in which we have to wait to allow letters of protest or comments from the public. Then we'll have our public hearing at that point. And after the public hearing's completed, we're hoping to have implementation by February of 2012. Again, a footnote to this is if we do not have implementation in February and it is postponed further, the rates may have to go up higher than that in the first year, because we do have a bond debt obligation that is due at the end of next calendar year that we must have a certain amount of revenue to make that payment. At this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have regarding any of the rate structures and options. Oh, also, before I forget, I know there was a request for some comparisons for commercial accounts, and Finance Director Oaken was kind enough to put this together for us today. I have a spreadsheet of all the commercial accounts and what each option would do, thanks to Ms. Oaken. What I included in on the dais there for you this evening with the PowerPoint presentation was a spreadsheet, and we picked out, looks like there's 8 commercial accounts for council to review. And I can wait until everybody has. Ms. Plata, would you mind hitting the lights for them so they could see that? And what we've done, I've sorted these by, if you see at the very far column where it says option 3, increase, this is how each of those accounts would be affected if we chose option 3. I sorted it in from the worst case scenario, as far as the account that would have the realize the biggest savings, all the way down to pretty much the accounts that would have the biggest increase. We have, I believe, 536 commercial accounts, and they're really all over the chart. And it does depend on the business, how much landscape they have, you know, how much water usage they had during the summer. So there's a wide span there, but I kind of gave you the extremes, and then I gave you some in the middle just for your review. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have on that as well.
You know, you're throwing all these numbers around, and people, the public is going to be confused when they listen to this. You know, you need to put it down in fact numbers. What is my rate going to go up, dollars and cents, if we approve this? You can throw all this stuff around, and that's fine here. But the public, if they don't understand, and once they start getting their bills, they are going to be upset. So we need to give that information ahead of time so
right.
They understand what it's going to happen to them.
All of that information.
And why? Now, when was the wastewater treatment plant put in place?
I believe the bond was taken out in 2007.
Okay. Now, when we implemented the rates at that time, were we lax? We didn't raise them enough?
Correct.
We didn't raise them enough, So then now we're going to have to hit the public hard.
That is correct.
You know, that's what's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
We should have done it earlier.
It's frustrating to me too, believe me.
And I hate to see these big increases. We've dealt this for so long. You know, public, they're not upset if it's small increments. But when you wait so long, then all of a sudden you hit them with a big fee, that's when they get upset. And that's what I'm concerned about here. We should have done it earlier.
Well, Mr. Salino, I think you bring up an excellent point. And we did mention in the last staff report that for some reason, even though the initial sewer rate study did recommend routine smaller escalations, for some reason the city at the time decided not to do this, and in fact there was a memo at one point that stated we didn't need to do that, and we mentioned during the last council
and
member that was incorrect.
About that exactly.
Right.
But that was the information that was given to us. We didn't need to do it.
Right. And I,
we would have been told that we needed to do it and why, then we would have,
we could have moved forward
exactly.
And not had the drastic. The other thing that has also occurred to not just the city of Reedley but a lot of municipalities is the revenues that come in and offset are also down. We have less wastewater than was expected, and that has to do with the state of the economy in general, businesses going out of business, et cetera. So there are a couple of things that are prompting an increase in the rates. But the biggest one is the fact that the initial rate increase recommendation was not followed.
Right, exactly.
On the residential side, like I discussed, they are flat rates, so all the residential customers would see what their rate is exactly going to be with each option.
And this would be, says years one and two includes a 25% rate increase?
I'd like to explain that briefly if I could. We had to have 25% overall rate revenue for these 2 years. Now, if you were to break it down and from our current rate, which is $29.95, to year one, which is $39.15, that is more than a 25% increase. And the reason is because we're planning on a February implementation. If we would have implemented this sooner, then the first initial year would have been less. Thus, it does also equate to the second year being less because the first year is getting front-loaded.
So you're looking at the first year, it's going to be a 1029 increase.
Yeah, the first year is going to be, if we implement by February, the first year we're going to have about a 33% increase. The second year will be less because what it
right,
equates
right.
to. Yeah.
Right. And what I was looking at, if I'm correct, is it's a 1029 increase first year. Second year is a 785.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now those are hefty increases.
Yes, very hefty.
To the public. And that's why I am a little bit upset at these numbers, that we have to do them now, which we'd have done it in the past.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with this increase too myself. I'm wondering if there's any way we could split the difference out, like from now till 3 years, and do like an equal sum rather than doing a larger amount now and then dropping back.
Our situation that we're caught in, and we went over this at the last council meeting, was our bond debt obligation.
Right.
We have a huge payment due at the end of next calendar year. We've been floating, and former management wrote the memo to you, and I've dug through my office, and I do not have any idea why the memo was written that we didn't need these additional rate increases, which is what Councilman Salino is referring to. But now we've been using diffs, reserves, everything to make the payment to this point. So we're at kind of the 11th hour that if we don't get these rate increases in place, we will default on our bond debt obligation at the end of next calendar year.
Again, Council, the item tonight tells us which option to go down. You're not necessarily increasing the rates tonight. You are helping us decide which of those three options we're going to structure the Proposition 218 and public protest hearing based on. And we felt that the average winter water use was the most equitable amongst consumers of water. You'll notice that...
Which one was that again?
Option three.
It is option three.
Option three. You'll notice that under options two and three, should consumption decline, people will have a lower bill. So if people are attuned to their water consumption, et cetera, they can help manage their own bills, as opposed to if we keep status quo, the bill will be a flat rate and it will be increased by so much and there will be a minimum bill. So that's why we felt option three was probably the best route to go, because it is the least impact on organizations like churches and institutions.
It's interesting you're talking about preserving water. We just had to implement a state mandate that we need to put backflows for businesses. Well, you know what? My backflow that I put in cost me $800, and it's leaking because the increments that come out of the water are plugging it up and it causes a leak. So my water use is going even higher. So what do we do about that?
You should talk to the installer. The contractor installed it for you.
No, it's a unit that we put in there is causing a problem. Hmm. It's the increments that come through the water that's causing the problem. So I have to shut that thing off on Saturday so it doesn't leak when I'm not working. So what are we doing? Saving.
Well,
I wonder how many other businesses that install those units are having the same problem.
Well, we've installed hundreds, and we don't have a whole lot of them leaking. Again, I would refer it back to the installer of the unit.
Wow. It's a stupid recommendation from the state as far as I'm concerned. That building has been there since 1940. It's never caused any problems. It's the government, Sacramento. The politicians think the more bills they pass, they can prove to the public they're doing a great job for them. They're creating problems. Jeez. Well, I quit saying things.
We can feel your frustration down on this end. It's okay.
I've just got a question about our checks and balances, I guess, when somebody could put out a memo like that and nobody comes behind and questions it as far as, you know, doing the numbers and saying, hey, this isn't right. Maybe it's something you could look at, Nicole, and explore because we are dealing with it 4 years later, and we all relied on a memo that nobody wants to take responsibility for, I guess. And now we're going to have to hit the public pretty hard, and we're going to be answering for a memo that somebody wrote. So I really wish that we could put something in place that something like that doesn't happen in the future, you know, not just water rates, but any place else in the city. It's just we're all blaming that memo now. And it should have never happened. I mean, somebody should have caught it early. Yeah, obviously, somebody did the math recently and said, oh, this is wrong. We should have done the math 4 years ago. Okay.
So, Council, we are requesting a motion and a second on which of the options. And again, we are recommending option three. However, that is the staff's recommendation. You obviously have the ability to do any of the options you prefer.
My question is, this information is going to go out to the public, and I hope we give them enough information as to what is taking place. Now, if there's enough opposition that comes in to the council that object to these rate increases, then the council can't do anything about it. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true. if there's over 50%, I believe, right, Scott? Yeah. Okay. Opposition. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
I look at these different options in the and the little spreadsheet here that you gave us, and boy, it goes all over the place, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, I would have to say that from and again, we did every commercial account in the city, and I think that some of the accounts were doing a little bit of the heavy lifting, and others were paying a little bit less. So I think this does. It's going to sting, no matter what option we choose. It's going to sting, but staff feels that this is a option three is a little bit more fair and equitable.
Well, I think having that winter rate does make sense because in the summer, you know that you see that skewed, you know, hump there in the middle, and you know that's for irrigation of outside that's not going back down the sewer, and so I think that's only a fair assumption to make to do that. But I see, you know, in doing that though, I see some places getting a decrease of $200 and other places getting an increase of the same amount. And the ones that are getting the decrease are the ones that have the big yards.
That is correct. If the businesses that basically have the same water use all year long, they're going to get an increase just like the residents are going to see.
So if we approve an option tonight, then the public hearing will not be until January.
That's correct.
Right. All right. So it gives us plenty of time to read the information that you're going to send out to the public. And listen to the public what kind of comments.
That's
they
correct.
Have for us.
Yes.
Okay. And in fact, I would like to point out the chamber has offered to assist us in publicizing, getting word out, really explaining, helping us through public hearings and workshops. And so we're very excited. And I thank Valerie for stepping up and offering her assistance. We have an opportunity to really do some good communications. Okay.
All right. I think that's going to be key to make this an acceptable raise. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to get a lot of kickback. So, but I think it's important that, you know, we educate the people, especially these different customers, that their rates are going to dramatically change to increase.
Right.
That side needs to really be, you know, educated as to what has caused this and where we're at in our funds and our ability. You know, we needed that sewer plant. We all know that. And we were at a point where we couldn't do any more building because the treatment plant couldn't hold any more sewage. So we our hands were tied. We needed to make that decision. And now we have the ability to grow, but now we have to pay the piper.
That's right.
So
I'm concerned about the senior citizens. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I'm worried about.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this issue before we go to a vote?
Steve Rapata, 1990 East Washington, Reedley, California. The reason why I'm going to stand up here and speak is because I was part of the decision making. And, you know, we go back to it, and this is where I was always concerned, in that when that memo came out, it was questioned. And we questioned it hard. And we counted on staff to bring us proper numbers. When we went through the whole thing of the wastewater treatment plant, and couldn't find a lot of free grant money, and we went with the low rates to borrow money and bond rates, and we sat around trying to figure out how to pay for this. It was pretty amazing to me, and at the time, Councilman Brockett, that we weren't going to increase these rates quite a bit. And, you know, that's what really bothers me at times, is that we hire all of these so-called experts, and they utilize comparisons from other communities versus what's really happening in your community. And then it's kind of sold to staff, and staff sells it to the council. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate in the fact that we stand up here and we say, well, that memo's to blame, and we don't know how that memo happened. I kind of disagree, because at the time when it was all being explained to council, it was explained how the DIF fees were going to pay for it, how this fund was going to pay for it, and the typical shuffling of dollars throughout the budget happened. And at that time, building was still decent, and everyone took these numbers from based on what they believed was going to happen in the next few years. Even though it had started to slide a little bit, we stood behind those numbers. So to say that that memo wasn't questioned, that's incorrect. It was questioned, but again, staff reassured us that the numbers were solid and the numbers were good. And all these funds that would help to pay for this bonding would make it happen. You know, we sat here over the water rates and explained to people like Horatio Alamon sitting in the back row, who found out he had a huge pipe at that old Growen plant, and at first thought he was going to be paying $1,500 a month for water, just based on that. We sat up there with calculators that night, figuring out how to make it work and how to make it equitable for everybody. If you remember that same night, we talked about these rates, the sewer rates. If the water rates are going to be this high, why aren't the sewer rates that high? And again, staff told us that was covered. Don't worry about that. Now here we are today. You know, and this is why I say, while I respect everyone on this staff, you as council members need to really understand what's being presented to you and ask those hard questions constantly. You are the protectors of the 25,000. And, you know, everybody does their job. Everybody comes up with their numbers. It doesn't hurt to get second and third looks, you know. And so you need to think about that going here on out. And it only made sense, and that's what really confused me. If you're going to build a $32 million wastewater treatment plant, and you're a community that doesn't have any sales tax revenue coming in and no other revenue coming in, you as a businessman, how do you say I'm going to spend $32 million and my revenue is going to stay the same and I'm going to pay the bills? It wasn't going to happen, and here we are today. So going forward, I hope we take good, harder, more detailed looks at what's happening, and our forecasts aren't built totally upon what's happening today. We look forward. Thank you.
Good evening, Valerie Peroni, Greater Reedley Chamber of Commerce. Just a cautionary note as we proceed, nobody likes any rate increases, businesses in particular. We cringe after hopefully a good, solid Christmas to start being sprung in January that we're going to have some rate increases. I think we need to do some education into the community of what is the importance of a wastewater treatment. We frankly take a lot of things for granted in our homes. We flush, we don't think about it, we water, we don't consider conserving or anything, but I think it becomes a process, and we don't need to, I don't want to use the word spring them on it, you know, come January, we need to begin kind of helping with the press and why we need these, and we are trying to do that through our Leadership Reedley to explain some of these programs. What really goes and builds a community? And I think that's where we have to begin in our public education and understanding how we all play a role in this and why our rates are going up.
Any other public comment on this issue? I think in these tough times, this is going to be a tough sell. So we're going to have to do our homework. So what is the council's pleasure?
I make a motion that we put option three
there a second?
No option. There's no other option we have. So I'll second that.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Salino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 11. Status update and discussion of the Central Valley Public Transportation Project.
Good evening again. This evening, it is the intention of staff to provide council with just a brief update and current status of the Central Valley Transportation Center. Yeah, if you could hit the lights, please, that'd be great. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Oops. I'd like to start, if I could, with just a brief review of the Central Valley Transportation Center. This is just kind of a conceptual schematic design of the Transportation Center. In the middle here is the shared meeting room / educational center that the school district and the city of Reedley would share. This would potentially be the public works offices for the city of Reedley, and this would be the transportation offices for Kings County Unified School District. The location of the Central Valley Transportation Center is just south of the Reedley Sports Park. Here's the Reedley Sports Park up in this area. Here's the Central Valley Transportation Center. This is Olson Avenue. This is Maxco box manufacturing. This is another view of the front. And this is the design of the Central Valley Transportation Center. We're trying to build it in phases. Phase one of the center would be the fueling station, which is located down in this bottom corner. The fueling station would serve all of the City of Reedley and Kings Canyon Unified School District vehicles and equipment, as well as we are intending the fueling station to be open to the public to serve the alternative fuels needs of the public, because there is not a CNG fueling station for the public in the City of Reedley at this time. Again, we're trying to build the project in phases. This is phase one. Kings Canyon Unified School District, courtesy of Mr. Mark Garza, has over by the whiteboard, you can see a display, and each little building, actually, you can lift the building out and see how much each one of those phases would cost. If you take the fueling station there and lift it out, you can see how much each one. So we're trying to build it in phases as we get grant monies to do so. In February of 2010, Kings County Unified School District and the City of Reedley entered into a joint powers agreement, and the purpose of that agreement was to, one, create a mechanism to collectively pursue funding for the center, and also to limit the liability of any single member and create efficiencies in the planning, designing, and construction of the center. To date, we have received some grant awards. We've received a CMAQ grant for $999,000 for the alternative fuels dispensers, the fueling dispensers. That grant has a match of $196,000. The roadblock that we're running into with that particular grant is Caltrans is not allowing us to utilize that grant if there's any sale of fuels to the public. So at this time, we're putting that grant on hold and kind of realigning our priorities for that. The CEC grant, which is the California Energy Commission, we received a grant for $480,000. $180,000 of that is for electric charging stations. $300,000 of that is for CNG fueling apparatuses as well. EDA grant. This grant is for $3 million for the educational center, and that grant requires a $4 million match to it, which at this point would be $2 million from the city and $2 million from the school district. Southern California Gas Company has also wanted to be a partnership in the project, and they are willing to work with us. However, it is more or less a loan for approximately $2.5 million, but that loan can be paid over the course of, I believe, 15 years, right? Yeah, 15 years. So these are all things we're looking into as far as grant awards that we've received. Unfortunately, they do come with matches that are rather sizable, as far as cash required. Grants that we're pursuing, the Tiger Grant, $8 million, and this would be for brick and mortar, which is monies that we're finding are hard to come by for the actual brick and mortar of the facility. Also, San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, we are applying for a $2 million grant from them for the fueling station. And both of those look promising at this point. As an equal member of the Joint Powers Agreement, the city is obligated to pay 50% of the cost incurred for the project to date. And I'd like to just go over those costs incurred. It includes the environmental process and the documentation. This is the NEPA CEQA process. The complete design of the fueling station. I didn't list it on here, but it is also the complete conceptual design of the entire facility was done as well. The establishment of the JPA and all the related legal fees. At this point, the City of Reedley's share is approaching $300,000 of cost incurred for the project. So that's just a real brief update. I know that Council's been very supportive of the project, and for good reason. This is a very beneficial project to the school district, to the City of Reedley, as well as the community at large. As you can see, our bill is approaching the $300,000 mark, and given our current financial situation and budget, staff is seeking direction from Council this evening on basically funding for the project and just seeking direction on how we move forward with this project here in the near future.
And let me clarify, if I may, Council. This project is an absolutely forward-thinking project. This will put Reedley on the map, just as Reedley College has put Reedley on the map and other various things. This is so exciting for a number of reasons. For one, it's a partnership unlike most we see in the Central Valley. It is a CNG station, and there is no other like this in the Valley, really in the state. And I would venture to say, and I'm looking for a nod here, in the nation, this is going to be a Voc Ed training center, and we did receive confirmation just yesterday morning from the Reedley College that they're willing to put some dollars into this as well, into a partnership. Because of the Voc Ed focus now at the state level by the Secretary of Education and some other things, we have an opportunity if we build this center and we can really show that we are training folks in green tech and green jobs, we really have an opportunity to get the state's attention here in Reedley. I really do liken this project to what it must have been like back when the founding fathers or whomever decided, hey, let's put a college in Reedley. And I'm sure a bunch of people said, why Reedley? Why not Fresno? And people realized at that time, we're going to step out a little bit ahead and we're going to think towards the future and we're going to do something that's progressive. And that's this project right here. It's very exciting. Now, I know the school district was a little nervous of me coming on board, and I'll be frank. This project made me a little nervous, though, as a brand new city manager in this city, because we are a 50-50 partner in this JPA, meaning any building, even if it's not a city building, we'll pay 50% of. And this project that started as a $3 million CNG fueling facility is now a $45 million big project. And so, you know, my math head was thinking half of $45 million and a budget deficit. Wow, how are we going to do this? So much to, I'm sure, staff's and the school district's chagrin, I came in asking some hard questions, and I'm sure gave the impression that I was not supportive of the project. They were bearing with me, though. They were very patient, and I appreciate that from them. I want to let the council know that, to me, this project is something that is very progressive. I'm very excited about it, and I would recommend to the council that we continue to pursue this project, albeit pursue it slowly and cautiously, because we are in an economic downturn. We have some opportunities right now with some funding that we don't want to miss out on. And given that, the strong belief is if we can put stakes in the ground, we have something to show folks from the state and the feds to come out and tour around and to say, look, we've started this. It's not just a pipe dream. So yesterday, I'm very pleased to say that the school district and Reedley College is not a formal JPA partner, but they were there in the room. I'm very proud to say that the school district was amenable to altering the JPA bylaws so that we are no longer a 50-50 partnership, but that every project, every part of that map will be viewed individually for financial shares. So, for instance, the EDA grant that we're talking about right now requires a $4 million match, two from the city, two from the school district. The school district has some reserves, and they have some ability to move forward with this. We're really holding them back because we don't have $2 million laying around. It's a bit unfair that we're holding them back because they can move forward and get the $3 million and start on what is the keystone of that center, that education center. By moving us out of that and looking at different funding ratios, we could move to, let's say, and this we haven't talked specifically, but for instance, a 75-25 ratio, where maybe our soft costs make up the 25% and they can go ahead and move on forward and get that money from the EDA. So we now have an opportunity to move this along, in my belief, a little faster through these economic hard times, and hopefully when the economy starts turning around, we can then start contributing a little more and moving a little more on some of the city's projects as well in there, like the city building and moving the public works yard, et cetera. I was very pleased at yesterday's meeting as well that the Reedy College came forward and said they were willing to provide matches for us, and they're willing to put money into this. What they said to us is they're not sure they want to be a formal JPA partner, but they do want to sign on in some sort of associate affiliate partner way. They have a $1-some-odd million grant that they received, and we're hoping we can use that as match dollars as well for some of this. They will provide all the curriculum. So we have
So that's a vocational education type of grant.
Exactly. So we do have some great opportunities. And what we will be requesting through Mr. Chavez is obviously a rewrite of the bylaws so that we take that 50-50 provision out. Now, I do want to be clear that we have been committed, or we are committed, to paying 50-50 of costs up until this point. And so the $300,000 you saw on that screen is our current obligation. We do owe that. And at this point, I'm new enough here that I don't know where we're going to get this money from just yet, but that's my job and we'll find it. So I just want to be clear that the 50-50 doesn't go the 50-50 is, retroactive to the start of the project, but ceased as of yesterday, and we will now be looking at different funding splits for each individual project. I think that's an extraordinarily good move, and I appreciate the flexibility of the school district to look into that and to consider that. So we do have members from the school district here. I don't know if they wanted to say a few words to council about the project.
Ron Hudson, Deputy Superintendent, Kings Canyon Unified, 1437 North Birch in Reedley. Nicole has not had the opportunity that we have had for the last 4 or 5 years to digest this, analyze it at every turn. What step are we going to take? But she has picked up on this thing very quickly. She's asked some tough questions and has assimilated about everything we know in a short amount of time. Thank you very much.
I doubt that, Rhonda. Thank you.
No, she has asked. The dialogue has been real good, and I certainly appreciate the fact that you have jumped in and asked the hard questions. Certainly, we are very much open to analyzing every grant opportunity on a different basis than 50-50. That makes sense. And Nicole brought that to our attention in her quick analysis of the project. This project has been in the making now for a number of years. It makes sense for us. It makes sense for you. It makes sense for the community. The whole concept is that we would chase the dollars for this center through grants. And we've been successful to a certain extent, and we're on the verge of being, I believe, successful to a large extent. And there are some chases that even weren't on the board there. But we've been wandering around in Sacramento, and Mark and John, I think, they're not residents of Reedley anymore. Yeah. You better check there. But there are funds out there. And this whole concept is based on chasing grants. We don't have the general fund. You don't have the general fund to put this together. But the need is there for us and for you and the community. So, and the funds are out there. It's a political world that we live in, chasing those grants, and we're willing to do that. And we're committed to that. And regardless of whether you dropped out tomorrow or not, we're still going to chase that because we believe that the dollars are there and we're real close to some dollars. We would love to have continue to have you as a partner because every time we go into a door someplace, they love the idea that we are partners. They don't see this in other cities. I mean, we're just continually amazed, and Mary's been out there, and Pete's been out there, and people don't understand the kind of relationship, the good relationship that we do have. We'll go as fast or slow as you want to go, okay? And we're going to continue to chase the dollars. We're not asking for that $300,000 tomorrow. We're pledged to providing those costs so that we can go forward on each grant. We'll analyze each grant individually. And each grant has its own uniqueness, too. There are four or five major components to this project, and the grants are specific to each of those components. Very rarely do you see grants that encompass the whole thing. And as Russ mentioned, there's not a lot of money out there for brick and mortar. And so we're close on chasing some brick and mortar type of funds. So any questions?
Well, I think this project is very important, and I just love the idea that there's a partnership because we're all part of the city,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to affect all of us and help all of us, and it's good to work together. And yeah. I know even if we do a little bit at a time mm-hmm. and we keep moving forward, yeah. that's the most important thing.
And you need to understand, too, that as Nicole has questioned, well, if we go for and chase this grant, how much is that going to mean to us? We're asking those same questions because we can't impact our general fund either. So those matching dollars, first and foremost, are going to have to come from a synergy. They're going to have to come from other grants where you match two grants or three grants together. We can't just run and match it with our general fund.
Okay. Well, Ron, you folks go to Sacramento all these different times. You've communicated with politicians up there that you presented. Made the presentation to them that you have gotten some of those individuals online and believe in this project that are supporting you.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
That's very important.
Yeah. Mark and John have developed a lot of new friends.
Exactly. When this presented to the council, we believed in it and we're going to support it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough, but we still believe in it.
Yeah, and we're at a point where we just have to analyze each step, each grant,
exactly.
each component. Which comes first? Which is going to happen? And oftentimes what's happening is, Nicole asked a good question. Well, what's phase one? What's phase two? Well, it has to do with what money's available.
We get first.
That's the world we live in because we don't have a stream of money to control phase one, two, three, four, five.
And Ron, your words in saying it's unusual that cities and school districts are working together. It's very unusual to hear that.
You don't know how unusual. I mean, these guys don't. How many times have we heard that over and over again? And I didn't even. That wasn't. I mean, I thought, well, that's surprising to me, but this is not surprising. It is very surprising to the folks we talk to.
Yeah. And that we have joint use facilities already. We have joint
mm-hmm.
yards.
We have $7 million worth of joint use facilities.
We have yards that we share together and mm-hmm. work together.
Correct.
Is very unusual, but it has allowed our city to prosper and to do good things for our community and for mm-hmm. our citizens. And that's very important. Mm-hmm. And we need to continue to work together. And I appreciate your willingness to hear what our city manager is concerned about and, mm-hmm. and work through it together.
Oh, she's asking good questions. Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay.
I should point out, by the way, as part of the status on this, that I want to thank David Berletic and some work that he had done. Last week we visited John Navarrete in the county. One of the important aspects of this project is it is not within the city's sphere of influence. It is not within the city, period, and then it's not even within the city's sphere of influence. So we took a jaunt over to the county building and met with John Navarrete last week, and David did an exceptional job of making sure that we were able to track this through. We got very warm reception from John. He's very excited about the project and, in fact, will be very supportive of us approaching LAFCO for annexation. So we can do these things that don't cost us really any money, and we're going to charge fast on those things because we can get those things done with very little money. So fairly soon you'll see us coming forward with a LAFCO annexation for this property, and it will be then within our sphere, and we'll be okay on that end of it. So
good. Is there any public comment on this issue?
I'll make a quick.
John, you're not public.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to make a quick public comment anyway. John Clements, Director of Transportation, 615 West Carpenter. I get that confused with 675 West Manning, where I reside most of the time. But you know what? Earlier, I believe Nicole's commented about us being on the map. Reedley's going to be on the map. Today, I was just sharing with Ron earlier, I attended the San Joaquin Valley Clean Cities Coalition today as an executive board member for the first time in a long time. And our Clean Cities coordinator, Linda Urata, that comes from Kern Cog, mentioned, she said, John, did you know that Reedley's on the map? And I go, yeah. Because of that $180,000 from the California Energy Commission that was given to us, awarded into the LEA, which is the city of Reedley, we are on a map that Governor Schwarzenegger, when he was in office, commissioned the Energy Commission staff to make a map with all the electrical charging infrastructure that was going in as a result of AB 118, the grant monies in the 2011 investment plan. And she recognized that, and she brought it to my attention, which, you know, Mark and I already knew because we'd seen the map. And Russ has seen the map. It sits in the Energy Commission office. And so when you look, you know, at that sign up there, that symbol of Reedley, the map looks pretty much like that. And the only other star on the map, and there is a star for Reedley, is in San Diego, Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco. We are the only location in the Central Valley to receive the first electrical charging infrastructure dollars for electric vehicles. So while we've been kind of quiet about it and just very subtly mentioning, I'm going to pass this picture across. That's going to be our first plug-in vehicle coming. That's an all-electric school bus. One of 14 school buses that we're going to receive by the end of the year $2.78 million in school bus funding from about five or six different sources at about $100,000 cost to Kings Canyon Unified to replace 11 buses and receive three additions to our fleet, of which one will be all electric, one will be a plug-in hybrid, four will be charge-sustaining hybrids, and the rest will be clean diesel buses. So I'm there.
I wasn't the only one who said it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I like it. So we're still waiting for it to be unveiled in Ohio at a national conference in a couple weeks. I just shipped off the lettering I'm hoping that it'll say Kings Canyon when they lift the curtain. But I shipped off the lettering the other day. But we are going to be on the map.
Thanks, John.
Steve Rapata. You know, this project, as the school district folks have said and you folks have done, it's something that will put Reedley on the map. It's not something that's just a fueling station that's going to benefit our trucking companies, our agriculture that's around us, the city and the school district, but it's going to impact with the educational center. That grant that the college got was based on the fact that that educational center is going to be built and there will be a vocational training center for green jobs. And it was a $1.35 million grant that the college received. And there's a possibility for another $1 million grant. But what that facility will do, it will help our economic development. It will help our unemployment rate that's grossly high. It will give people an opportunity to do something other than agriculture and be in with the future technologies. But what it's doing more than anything else, besides being on a piece of paper map, when people in Fresno now, Sacramento, wherever these guys have gone for presentations, the first thing when they hear Reedley, they talk about that transportation center and what cutting edge is happening with it. You know, so much so that a letter was sent to this community by the California Energy Commission inviting these gentlemen and representatives from the city to come help them form their 2012-2013 investment plan to include brick and mortar money for this project. Then they went beyond that to say they would sponsor this group to go before the ARB to try and get the Air Resources Board to match those dollars. Just one last thing I want to make everybody aware of. At one point in time, this group had in their hand an $8 million letter from the California Energy Commission. Here's an $8 million grant if you can get the federal government to match it. Went through the process of getting the matching dollars from the federal grant. This project outscored almost every project that was turned in from around the nation. Unfortunately, our congressmen and other people didn't give us the support we needed, and all the funding was given to projects in Southern California that didn't even meet the actual guidelines of the grant funding. So we lost that other $8 million. So many other people have stepped up. It's amazing the buzz about this. There's even people that work for other council members in Fresno that have gone on our behalf. I don't know if you've seen the little buses the school district hands out. It's a memory stick that has our presentation. There's a couple of them that have gone around and put that into computers and shown it to people, and now we're getting calls to come do presentations for private funding. Believe it or not, we even got this city and the school district got a supporting letter from the Sierra Club, from the environmentalists about that project, and that's something to be said. So these gentlemen have done a fantastic job. You folks are doing a great job in staying committed. I know Nicole has been through this now, and she understands how important it is to this community. But more important, it's important to this region. If you hear Armando Lopez, from the mayor from Parlier, talk about it, you would think it was his project. If you hear the mayor from Dinuba talk about it, you would think it's Dinuba's project. And that's what's happened. All of this region has bought into this project. So I commend you for continuing it.
Thank you. Council, we are not looking for any specific motion tonight. We are just looking for general discussion and direction, support moving forward, et cetera. Garza.
Good evening. Marco Antonio Garza. I do live at 675 West Manning. Kings Canyon Unified School District, Director of Construction. Not only did we make the map, but we also made the business journal. Our project is featured in there. This is the second time it's been featured. You know, I just want to thank you as a council and as a city to continue that support. You know, we are pounding a lot of pavement. We are making a lot of headway. You've heard my colleagues talk about the project. You guys know that we're on that cuff. I mean, the EDA grant is there. We've got letters from the college saying that if we build this, they supply the workforce training, but there are also jobs attached to that. Steve and I have gone to the Electrical Brotherhood out of Fresno, and they're looking for groups like ourselves that build projects that supply the workforce that get trained from the Electrical Brotherhood. So you're going to have apprentices that will be getting paid starting out on our project, hopefully, at $15 an hour. We select the zip codes that they work in. So, you know, we're going to be creating jobs for us as a community. Both Orange Cove, Reedley, Dinuba's, all of us within this area are going to benefit greatly from this facility. As you heard, the Reedley College has already got a grant. They were asking yesterday, where's your building? We need a tent out there. We need something. We need a stake in the ground. So, you know, I hope that you guys continue to stay committed and support the project. You know, it is hard times, and we all understand that. We count our shekels every night before we go to bed. We understand they're very slim, so we are looking at every funding opportunity that has come out and the implications that are for that. Unfortunately, we do have to make some investments. The investments are the site plans, the schematics. We have to be shovel-ready. When we go, what do they ask? They ask for shovel-ready projects. Right now, we have a shovel-ready project. If they gave me a dollar today, I'd be able to spend it tomorrow, plus some. But again, I just want to thank you guys for your continued support, and I want to thank Nicole, I ain't going to lie, you scared the hell out of me the first day. I heard I heard my project going down. I say my project because we all put a lot of time into it. And I agree with you. That is one ugly bus. But I tell you what, we're going to have the first one in the nation.
I didn't say ugly. I said cute.
Yeah. It's the bug. But anyways, thank you and good evening.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, any other public comment? Okay. Any other comments from our council? Okay, I think this was a good discussion item this evening.
Thank you, Council.
And we'll work together on it, continue that. Okay, the next item is item 12, approving a development agreement for remodeling of a 10-unit apartment building located at 883 East Springfield.
Mayor Fast, members of the council, David Berletic, city planner. A couple of corrections to the staff report before you. The agreement is a forbearance agreement, and where we're making reference to the number of units, it is 12 units for the project. What we're asking for tonight, staff is recommending approval of a forbearance agreement between the City of Reedley and Mike Hamburger and Christine Hamburger to allow them to remodel an existing multifamily building located at 883 East Springfield. You may recall that the building official had red tagged an existing apartment building for unsafe living conditions. Directed that the building be raised. The property owner at the time was exercised his right to call for an appeal hearing, had a building code appeal board hear the project, and the decision was to give the property owner at that time an opportunity to fix the code violations. Time has passed that was given under that ruling. In the meantime, Mr. Hamburger has taken ownership of the property, approached the city about could he have time to complete those improvements. At your direction, we put together a forbearance agreement that has the conditions that council saw fit to ensure that the project would be completed in a timely manner. The agreement before you specifies the improvements that need to be completed, a time frame that they need to be completed in, and a couple of other conditions that I'll point out, one of which is a reimbursement to the redevelopment agency for the low and moderate income housing funds that were spent for relocation of the tenants at the time the building was condemned, and then also a submittal of two cashier's checks for $7,500 each that would be held by the city in the event that the project not be completed. We would use those funds to demolish the building. As the project gets completed, it's in two phases. If phase one is completed, we will release one of the $7,500 cashier's checks. At completion of phase two, we would release the other, which would mean full occupancy of the building. That concludes my staff report. I'm available for any questions you may have. Mr. Hamburger is in attendance tonight. Should you have some questions? Christine Hamburger is in attendance also. Mike and Christine are in the corner.
Driven by there several times and they're really working on it. I can
see. We had some of the conditions that we were going to ask for included fencing, cleanup of the site, and at their discretion they decided to get started doing that anyway because they didn't need our permission to put a fence up and remove garbage.
Any comments or questions from the council on this issue? None. Any comments or questions from anyone from the public on this issue? Mike, I don't know if you'd like to say a few words or not.
Shall we wait for Ray?
I have a question in the meantime, just to clarify. The only reason number one unit could have three occupants was because it was a two-bedroom, huh? Is that right? The others are like studios, aren't they?
It's actually one bedroom.
Oh, it's
actually unit one is one bedroom. The remaining are studios. And the number of occupants isn't based on the number of bedrooms, but it's based on the square footage of the unit. from the building code. So unit one is larger. It is a one-bedroom unit that's a larger square footage than the studio apartments.
Just clarification, I think you said 12 units, is that right? Is it 12 units, not 13 units? It is 13, okay. I just wanted to clarify because the agreement says 13 units, so, okay. 13 units, perfect. Okay. We're going to leave it at 13 units.
They all have to be livable if people are going to live there. So. I do think for the sake of the public who may be listening in on a later archive, it's important to note that essentially what this is doing is really turning some very, very sour lemons into some very, very sweet lemonade. This is a unique product for the Central Valley, really, not just Reedley. And it's what I think will be a product in very high demand. Mr. Hamburger has shown, and I do think this is important for the public to know, he has taken ownership from a previous owner, so the property now is in his name, and he has shown demonstrated success in other projects, including renovation of some historic structures, renovation of frankly, some structures that, based on the pictures, I didn't even think was possible to renovate, and they are beautiful granite countertops, nice cabinets, etc. Very, very, very livable, nice spaces. So I do think it's important for the public to know that city staff has put some very strict requirements on Mr. Hamburger that he was willing to accept in order to not demolish the property but to rehabilitate it. And we are going to be watching this very closely, and we will be providing the council with, can't remember if we said monthly or quarterly updates.
They asked for quarterly, but we're going to bring you monthly.
We will provide you with regular updates on the status of this.
Didn't get them, but now it's quarterly, so monthly would be great.
We will provide you regular updates, and the checks that were mentioned, the money that was mentioned, they are in hand. They are in hand. So.
And who will be in charge of supervising and seeing that there's only two occupants per unit? You, are you going to? Okay.
Two of the conditions in the agreement, one refers to covenants being recorded that set the number of occupants that could live in each unit, and the other is that they provide us with management contacts so that we can contact management if we need to get in and take a look at anything. You have building department staff and code enforcement staff that if you're concerned, we can run out and take a look.
I want to thank David. I know this has been a long process, and it's been debated and talked about, and we talked about the issues sometimes where it gets heated. This was one of those issues, and I want to thank David for doing the work that he did on this and getting it to where it's at now. And with that, I'll make the motion to approve.
Second it.
No. Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Betancourt?
Yes.
Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item 11 is a request of council members for future agenda items or reports of council member activities. And I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem.
You know, I've been to a lot of places, but I've simply been busy. I don't even remember. So I don't have anything to say.
Okay. Mr. Chavez?
Nothing today. Thank you.
Mr. Salino?
Would just like to say it was enjoyable to the fiesta. And I'd like to thank the Chamber of Commerce and for the great, great fiesta this year. There was a lot more people as we rode down. We had to go an extra block this year.
There were a lot of people.
And we had was the entries a lot more than last year?
The parade, yes, they had more entries. They had more booths as well.
Great, great. If I could just only say one thing that I had a little concern that years ago during the fiesta, we used to have a lot of local organizations that had the booths, and the funds that they raised
went back to the community. And more, because of the health department, has put a strict restrictions on them, which they say we can't afford to do it. We have a lot of outsiders come in, generate the revenue, and take it out of the city of Reedley. That's my only concern. I wish that we could do something to bring the local citizens back to that parade. But how we do it, we need to sit down and maybe a little brainstorming or something.
I know the Carruthers Fair is the same situation. They have the same conditions. And I know that all their vendors are local. Mm-hmm. And they do, that's a huge draw over there in Carruthers. So, I don't think that's hindered their local people from meeting the health department requirements. Mm-hmm.
We agree with you as well. One thing that last night Pam Melvin and I with the RDA had talked about, how can we help our locals stay here and do food service, because that's the challenge. And one is some additional training, because next year the rules are going to change again. You're going to have everybody that's inside that booth working has to be food safety certified.
Goodness.
Welcome to the government. Oh, sorry.
Cold. Welcome to the county.
Welcome to the county, the state, actually. That's one. But one of the issues that these small vendors have is hand washing and the sinks to rinse their stuff off, and they're very expensive. So Pam and I have pitched an idea together and see if between the chamber and the RDA, if we begin to buy some of these ourselves, then we would rent them back out to the Mennonites or to the Boy Scouts or anybody who needs it, our nonprofit local groups, where it's not going to be for commercial use, but we will try to assist them, because I understand, I think it was Martin with Valentino's comment, oh, these things can be anywhere from $300 to $500. And if we can absorb the cost, rent them back out for these events, maybe we can help encourage them. So we're trying to address those. The challenge, too, is we've had a lot of vendors locally who said, well, we shouldn't have any outside. I know me as a parent, well, an older parent now, and grandchildren, if there's long, long lines, and I have a screaming kid, I'm just not going to stand in a long line to get one hot dog. So I like choices. So we balance both. We had a lot more crafts this year, and I suspect a lot of it is home-based businesses that are seeing tightened budgets and opportunities. So I'm exploring with some ideas. I met this afternoon with a couple of the landlords downtown on ways that maybe we can help all these craft vendors, and many of them were local. I mean, truly local people. Could we give them a platform over the holiday and allow them to maybe sell some more goods? And because small businesses and small entrepreneurs end up opening up brick and mortars. Thank you.
Well, that's one of the things that I was thinking about. If the city could come up with some kind of funding, and now that you mentioned that you folks are trying to do the same thing, mm-hmm. to provide those units and rent them out to those individuals, maybe we can bring those people back locally.
Absolutely.
I'd like to discuss that a little bit more.
We're meeting next week with Nicole, and it's on my list of agenda items. So I hope she has lunch early and has a long time to talk. Thank you.
And the other thing tonight was attending the CYM house. It was amazing, the renovation that took place in that house. Mm-hmm. And it was a nice crowd there tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, congratulating the volunteers. No volunteers, are believers. It was nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what to me was neat about the the house this evening is that we supplied part of the funding,
sure.
But then they took that and used volunteers, you know, to even sometimes get some of the product for free, and they have multiplied. They have fixed that house up with $50,000, and there's no way $50,000 would have done that house.
No.
So that was very exciting to me to see that money, that seed money, get multiplied. I have a lot of different things. I attended the Council of Government meeting up in Fresno, which is the meeting of all of the mayors of the cities.
And that's our transportation. A lot of our transportation funding comes from there. And in our budget, we approved $649,000 of local transportation funds for Reedley and $127,222 from the state transportation assistance funds. There was also some monies left over that we received more in the sales tax than we thought we were going to get. And so there was $1.7 million left over in the LTF funding. And so Reedley got a share of that, and our share is $56,214. So every little bit helps, but we've done good there. One presentation that we had at the COG meeting was an environmental impact, just a summary report on the high-speed rail draft environmental impact report. And Bruce O'Neill was hired to put that together, and he did an outstanding job. So I don't know, I know the high-speed rail won't come directly through Reedley, but if any of you are interested in that high-speed rail information, there's a great PowerPoint presentation that he did that's available on the FresnoCog.org website that you can look at if you'd like to. And I wanted to just give you a couple of highlights on that. Just a very briefly on that, the cost of the Merced to Fresno rail will be $1.3 to $3.4 billion. In Fresno County, 555 acres of farmland will be used for the right-of-ways for the high-speed rail at this point in time, as long as the designation of the line stays the way it is now. 95 residential units will be displaced. 80 businesses with over 2,000 employees will be displaced. 3 billion kilowatt hours of electricity is needed to get this thing to go down the line. And that's equivalent of the use of over 400,000 homes. So that's a concern in our area for the electricity usage. Also, an interest to me was the noise level. With a 200 mile per hour train going down the road, it's going to be loud. And it's going to be probably 100 decibels and higher. They said it was the equivalent of a freight train, but I don't think freight trains go quite that fast. I think it's going to be noisy. They also talked about the Merced to Bakersfield section will hopefully house a heavy maintenance facility, and that is expected to bring over 1,000 jobs if they select the Fresno area for that. The draft EIR comment period will end this Friday, the 13th, and from there they will go forward with future planning for the high-speed rail. But again, if you're interested, that's a very interesting report that he put together and put about 10 pages from about a 1,000-page report. So it was very well done.
What's interesting to read the report from that agency is that in 2035, there'll be 142 trains go through the valley. That's hard to believe. That's what they're saying. 142, 70 of them will be nonstop, and 42 will stop at every section, every station. That's amazing. 2035. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe.
That's kind of mind-boggling. Another report that was presented was the San Joaquin Valley Inter-Regional Goods Movement Plan. And that includes our railroad transportation in the 8 Central Valley counties. And they gave me a PowerPoint on that that I don't think is on the website, and I wanted to give this to Nicole to just put with our railroad type of things that we're working on. And Clark Thompson from the COG staff is the contact person on the railroad type of issues. The Fresno COG also received $1 million grant for planning in the 8 county areas, but it's for planning for populations of communities that are lower, below 50,000 population. And this is pretty unusual. They usually do planning, and it's usually for the larger cities. So I was particularly drawn to this application. So they are going to be doing some needs assessment in our there's 46 cities within the eight county region. So I would expect that they will be coming to Reedley for part of that. They will also be recommending best practice options for each city and coordinating with workshops and implementing issues with the blueprint and instructions on the blueprint toolkit, which is being developed to use. They also said that they'll provide individual assistance to our cities, our smaller cities, to help incorporate the blueprint principles into our general plans. And I know our general plan is probably down the road to being finished, but there might be something in the future that they can help us with. And if we can get a free consultation, we'll take it. One last thing from COG. We're having a transportation forum, which is a week from tomorrow, Wednesday, from 8 to noon at the Exhibit Hall in Fresno. And it's kind of a showcase of Measure C projects and transportation displays, of which Reedley will be a part of. And I wanted to invite all of you to try to attend if you can. You need to RSVP, and I think Sylvia has the information if you would like to RSVP, any of the staff or council. And just the last comment, I wanted to commend our city manager for coordinating the process for our selection of the District 3 council person. I thought you just so quickly thought through how to get a group of volunteers to help to review initially. You know, at first I didn't think we were going to get anybody to volunteer to even be on the council, let alone have to have a pick, but we did, and I think that shows the strength of our community, and you really rallied to kind of put that together, and I appreciate that effort very much. Okay, that's all I have. Okay, any staff reports?
There are a few staff reports, and I'm gonna kick us off with a couple of broader ones, and then we'll turn it over to some department heads to give you updates. Last Friday, there was a summit called by Mayor Swearingen and some others on the California Partnership for the San Joaquin Valley. You may recall that under Governor Schwarzenegger, this partnership was begun, and it was under executive order of the governor to focus specifically on San Joaquin Valley issues. There was some concern as to whether or not current Governor Brown was going to continue this partnership, and it has been very successful for the valley. And in fact, during this summit last Friday, we spent the day with each of his cabinet secretaries. He sent all of them down, and I think that showed a particular commitment to the valley. We did hear about some of his plans on releasing state prisoners into local jails, et cetera. We heard about some of the plans on health. It was very sobering. We will have impacts here on some of the governor's ideas and plans, and as those come rolling out, we'll make sure to update the council. It was very telling to me that his Secretary of Health, for instance, was saying it's now time for the citizens of the state to realize that we can't do more with less. We can't even do the same with less. We have to do less because there's less. And so it's all the way up from the top to the bottom. We're all feeling the pinch. And so it was a sobering day, but at the same time, it was a good day because it reinforced the governor's commitment to the Valley. So it was a good summit. Along the lines of the governor signed about 200 bills within the last day or two. And there are some that do impact the city of Reedley. And so I wanted to point out two in particular that we are looking into right now as far as their impacts. One impact, or one item and bill that he signed would require health insurance to cover autism and behavioral disabilities. That will have some impact to our rates, we believe. We did meet, I know Lori and Darla met today with the firm that does our benefits, and their name is escaping me, I apologize. They also met with me for about half an hour. They're going to do some studies and surveys so that they can tell us how much it will impact our rates. We probably won't see that impact for a year or two down the line, but eventually it will impact our rates. The other thing that he signed, which is a very interesting one, is mandatory fact-finding for agencies that go into impasse with bargaining units. And this would mean for us, if you have mandatory fact-finding, that if we have some specific timelines we're looking at as we're going through negotiations, and we believe that at some point it might go into impasse, we need to be thinking strategically ahead for those timelines to build in that mandatory fact-finding period. Just rolled this out, and he just signed this, so there's been a flurry of activity from CalPELRA, the Labor Relations Association, the Society for Human Resources Management, a flurry of activity to get some training sessions out there. So we'll be going to some training sessions and learning exactly what that means for us and exactly what the bill does. But I do want the council to be aware that it will be mandatory starting in January if we go down the road of impasse with a labor unit. So, and then my last one, in your boxes as of tonight, there is a memo that we wanted to share with you on the status of our workers' comp and liability claims. We have a very nice thing that our provider has rolled out to us, and essentially it's a dashboard of our claims. And what you will see initially looks very busy, but as you take some time to review, it'll show percentages, bar charts, et cetera, on the number of claims paid out, number of claims we were able to close, a lot of good information there for you. And periodically, we'll provide this information to you. Lori did provide a nice memo on who we use for workers' comp and liability, what it means to us. And so that is in your box tonight, and we can send it off to you tomorrow. Okay. So. All right. Yeah. Joel?
Good evening, Council. Joel Glick, Community Service Director. I do have, I do kind of want to update you on the Fiesta Walk and Run. Our participation level has grown. We had 200 more participants this year. Wow. So last year we were at 450. This year we're over 650. So the event keeps on getting bigger and bigger. I do have a couple of thank yous. The school district is able to get a lot of their students involved, so I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank the chamber, you know, for volunteering and use of their facility for some storage things. And also our police department with the Explorer program. But a big thank you to the Russ and the Public Works Department. You know, we don't realize, but they do a lot of the work. They're working a week before the event even starts with getting the park ready, the streets cleaned up, the barricades out. So thank you, Russ, for that. And my next item is during the Red Ribbon Week, we do have a Halloween Red Ribbon Carnival. That'll be October 28th at the Reedley Armory from 6 to 8 p.m. We are looking for some volunteers, so if you would like to volunteer, we have all different types of things going on, from a costume contest, different games. We even have a health fair, bounce houses, and those types of things. You know, contact myself or Sarah at the Community Service Department. And the last thing, just a quick update on our airport project, our beacon and apron project. We're about 2 weeks into it. even with the rain delays we had last week, we're about 4 days ahead of schedule. So there's about 25% of the project is completed. So I don't know if you've driven by the airport, but you can see a lot of the slurry seal completed, especially in the hangar taxiway areas. And they're moving pretty quick and doing a good job out there.
Thank you.
We got quite a few pilots that are pretty impressed.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, Jerry Isaac, Fire Chief. Just a couple of things tonight. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Beck for your willingness to serve this community, and I'm sure all of us are going to look forward to your leadership. Thank you for stepping up. Secondly, Mayor, you proclaimed this week at our last council meeting as Fire Prevention Week, and I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind you that this Thursday is our annual open house, and everyone's invited, and it starts at 5:30. So bring your kids, bring your grandkids. There's going to be a lot of events, demonstrations, educational things, balloons, hats, coloring books, all those types of good stuff. So a lot of equipment on display. Skylife 4 will be on the ground, hopefully, if they're available. And it'll be a real good time for everybody.
If you haven't been out for that, you need to come. It's some pretty awesome equipment out there all over the county area.
David Berletic, city planner. School district left, but they asked us to share with the council that they are in negotiations for another school site. It's not set in stone whether it's going to be a high school, elementary school, or some combination. And the property that they are in negotiations for is approximately 40 acres. It's at the northeast corner of Floral and Frankwood. It is the property that has an entitlement on it for the Milestone subdivision. So they're in negotiation for that property. Mentioned earlier tonight with the other projects we work on, we sat down with the school district and came up with criteria that the city would like to see when they look at school sites. And the criteria we came up with, they did a very good job of meeting. And this is actually a better location than we were preliminarily showing in our general plan update. It's sandwiched between a Collector and an Arterial Street. It's a great location for a new school site. In response to the mayor's comments regarding the COG planning grant, you may recall that the Blueprint Planner's Toolkit was unveiled at one of our general plan update workshops. We were the first community to see that. They tested it on us, and I think that was when they decided that they were going to steal Rob Terry from us. So.
Oh.
And if I may, I'd also like to thank Mr. Beck, but that's for the ride you gave me home when I was 16.
Oh, I think I want to hear the rest of that story.
Dave, could I ask, that's on Frankwood, South Frankwood?
It's South Frankwood on the east side of the street.
Is that the former Beckenhauer property?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Good, thank you.
Any other staff reports this evening? Okay. Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.